Corn in the crib won't turn your dollar green. Dollar won't get you high. Some days a drop is all a body needs. Some days the
body. If a ton of talent, a wicked sense of humor, and a gift for writing pretty country melodies is what it took to be a Nashville country star, then Robbie Foulkes would still be a resident of Nashville, Tennessee. Instead, Foulkes has made Chicago his home for the last 20 years. It was the song Cigarette State, released by Chicago's Bloodshot Records, that first brought Foulkes significant exposure. It also lumped him in with the emerging alt-country movement, or insurgent country as Bloodshot Records preferred. But to hear him tell it, he always wanted to be a country musician, not alt, insurgent, or anything else. Just country. On his ninth record, Gone Away Backward, Foulkes mines the folk and string band roots of the American country music catalog. Well, you've lived now for more than half your life in Chicago, but you still write a lot about growing up and living in a small town.
Yeah, we lived in like 12 different places. We moved about once a year until I was 13, and then we stayed put in Creedmoor, North Carolina. But after York, you know, York isn't that big of a town. After that, it was like farms and small towns. And except for Charlottesville, I was there for 2 years too. So, but you know, small towns to farms and in between.
So is that something that comes naturally? I mean, do you relate autobiographically when you write those kinds of things? Or is that just, you know, something that is expected in someone that writes country music?
I think both, you know. I think, I don't know, I can't really psychoanalyze myself, but I think I'm kind of riven between the country me and the city me. You know, when I was like little, I just always wanted to get out, you know, ever since I was a teenager, I just wanted to get off the farm and get to New York City and be Bob Dylan and leave all the rest behind. And you know, that happened in the sense that I went to the city. The rest of it didn't happen. But now that I'm 50, a nostalgia comes more naturally to me. And probably like anybody, I mean, those formative years when you're 0 to 10, they just, I find that they really define who you are. You just can't get away from it. So I guess I do refer back to it a lot, and I think it, you know, hopefully since country music is kind of backwards looking anyway and kind of sentimental, and I'm a sentimental guy, you know, I think it all kind of works in the end, if I'm writing well anyway.
Back in the driveway, the end of the workday, and how fast that world disappears. A fresh lawn, a pine tree, a neighbor just like me that's worked all his life to get here. A man climbs as high as he can, but his heart belongs where it began. I can see in my mind's eye shack on a hillside, a mean billy goat on a chain, and Dad doing battle.
You've never shied away from telling people exactly what you think about the country music industry. There's a cut on Gone Away Backward that, although it's more G-rated than some of your earlier jabs at the country music industry, it's a jab nonetheless.
That song that you're referring to, I was actually going for the story. There's a group called the Gibson Brothers that I was like, I sort of knew for a little bit on an email basis. And the story kind of reflects what happened to them. They were from Virginia and they came to Nashville and got their thing kind of changed around. You know, the guy singing that song, he's like, it almost doesn't make sense because he's from the Blue Ridge Mountains and he's a bluegrass singer and he goes to New York to make his name, and in New York they change him around. Well, who has that ever happened to, you know? I mean, who goes to New York with a bluegrass act to make it big and then gets their hair cut by a label? It just doesn't add up, I don't think. But anyway, that's what happens in the song, and it's not, so in that sense it's not really personal, but I threw in some personal stuff, like the guy playing his dad's guitar, which is, you know, I played my dad's guitar for a lot of years, and, you know, I lived in that area, the Blue Ridge, whatever, that the guy is from. So I don't know. It's kind of a made up story with some autobiographical details thrown into it, you know, larded into it. And I do that a lot on these new songs, and in my writing now in general, I've felt freer to do that. I think I can deliver it a little bit more believably, and I think that, you know, hopefully on some level it connects with the audience in a more realistic way than if I make every detail up.
Well, now the record company man confessed he liked me. Oh, but he'd have to shave a few rough edges down. Cut my hair like Brooks and Dunn's, trade the banjo for some drums, 'cause no one would buy that old high lonesome sound. Now I don't know just what this deal's got me.
For someone known as an alternative country performer, you've had the honor of playing at the Grand Ole Opry and the honor of working with the late, great George Jones.
You know, I set out to be a country guy like 20 years ago or a little bit more even. And I didn't set out to be an alternative or a punk or any other kind of, you know, hyphenated kind of country. I just wanted to do country music. And so to me, like getting to be on the Opry and getting to work with George, you know, they were frickin' thrilling. Like the first time that I worked with him was on a Webb Pierce tribute album that a friend of mine was producing. Gail Davies was throwing it together, and he was singing before I was slotted to sing. So I arrived at the studio early, watched him work, and then talked to him. And then somebody took our picture, and the two of us were side by side. And he looks up at me, you know, I'm like 6'5", and he's real short. You know, he's from the Depression era, and he's kind of stunted. And he goes, "Hey, Mutt and Jeff," and then he kind of laughs. Apparently, like, Mutt and Jeff is an old-timey cartoon where one guy's tall and one guy's short. And then, so, like, fast forward to, I don't know, to 2 years later when I was lucky enough to get George to sing a song on a project that I was producing, and he came into the studio, and I was pretty sure that he'd forgotten ever meeting, having met me before, which was true, as it turned out. You know, it wasn't memorable for him. It was for me. And I did a kind of a creepy, weird thing, which is with it when we were having our picture taken at the end of that session 2 years later, I looked down at him and said, "Hey, we're like Mutt and Jeff." I like used his line again to curry favor with him. And he laughed like it was the funniest thing he'd ever heard, not realizing that he'd made it up. I think he kind of like wrote songs the same way, maybe like he forgot things, the songs that he had written, so he was pleased by hearing them later. In fact, I know that for a fact, because the song that we recorded on that album, we recorded a song that he had written for his friend Johnny Paycheck, and he forgot that he had written it. It's kind of cool to forget things.
And a corn crop there is hardly worth mentioning, and the cattle farms are fine but not the best. It's this little leaf we borrowed from the engines that keeps our stain a notch above the rest. Down to Georgia Beach is fair, Kentucky beyond compare, and Alabama's grand, the state not the band. Well, the South, she has her diamonds, and everyone is great, but North Carolina is a cigarette state. Now the folks in our hometown sure had the habit, they smoked the best homegrown the whole year round. They knew what a good time was and how to have it, 'cause that was a cigarette town. Our neighbor Frank was so hybrid man's letters, but he made honey slipping off the land. And he put away 3 packs of air better, 'cause he was a cigarette man. Now Georgia Peach is fair, Kentucky beyond compare, but Alabama's grand, the state not the band. Well, the South, she has her diamonds, and everyone is great, but North Carolina is a cigarette state.